You're listening to WMIE, Coco, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, and the Beaches, 91.5 FM, as well as W272BA, Coco Beach, and Vieira, FM 102.3.
Welcome. You're listening to Wake Up with Tom Jones.
Good morning, saints of God. It's time to wake up. This is Tom, and I'm coming to you live, and I enjoy being here. I really, really do, sharing what the Lord's put on my heart. Sometimes I'd like to know what the Lord puts on your heart and what's he saying to you today. I'll give you an opportunity about 9:35. I'm just going to let one or two people call in to share their heart, what the Lord has done for you, what he's doing for you, and in these days that we live in. I'm going to play a song today. Danny was playing it this morning, and I really liked it. Country song. And it's Josh Turner, Me and God. When Danny played that this morning to me, you know, Danny, I don't mean to put you on the spot, but I think you need to have your own program on 91.5. That was, he's introducing me to some more country music because I'm an old country boy, and I just love country music, and that song was from Josh Turner, Me and God. What about you and God, you know? What about you and God today? Are you sticking close to him? Are you drawing, as the word tells us, to draw near to him, and he'd draw near to you? Danny, think about it. I really feel in my heart that it'd be nice for you to have your own program here on 91.5. You know, I really do. And you're very gifted, very talented. I watch him do the controls here, and he's faithful to the studio, faithful to the Lord, faithful to his wife. And I pray that God uses you mightily, Danny, in the days, months, years to come. God bless you and your lovely wife as well. And my message this morning is about how to pray. And I just want to put on another song. And it's how that we're to pray. And I hope you enjoy it. It's called Our Father. Our Father. In heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done. On earth as it is in heaven, give us today our daily bread. Forgive us of our debts as we have been forgiven our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one.
and we need your grace today. Hear us as we pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Our Father, hear us from
song. And I just want to share with you, are you praying? As we play that song by the country singer Josh, me and God, what about you and God? What's he doing for you? Or and you know, the word reminds us that the steps of a righteous are ordered by him, not you. And how are we to walk in those steps? And I really, as the scriptures tell us, the fervent and effectual prayer of the righteous availeth much. Also says pray without ceasing. So are you praying each and every day? Are you drawing near to him and letting him draw near to you? So if we look at the book of Matthew, chapter 6, Jesus is teaching us the proper way to pray. And we look at chapter 6 and verse 5. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. So whatever you do for the Lord, don't be try to be seen by men and boast and brag. And let your prayer life just, when you pray, have you ever been to dinner and or a family group and someone prays and they just go on and 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 on? You just say, I want to eat, you know. Don't let your prayers be too long that you're putting people to sleep, you know. And God hears our prayers. He knows what we need before we even mention them. But it's just spending time, quality time with him. And as we continue, it says, I tell you the truth. This is Jesus speaking, that they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into the room, close the door, and pray to your Father, who is unseen, that your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like the pagans, for they think they have heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you even ask. And this is building trust, you know, with Jesus, spending time with him. You know, if you have a good friend, you want to spend time with him. And that's like the Lord. You want to get to know him and draw closer to him and spend more time with him, you know? And Jesus goes on to say, and this then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Let's look at that one. Give us today our daily bread. You know, Jesus will always meet your need. You look at the children of Israel, they were in the wilderness for many, many years, and God provided for them out in the wilderness. So shall he provide for you your daily bread. You know, there's a scripture that reminds us all that the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I think we have to be careful that we don't get into wanting for things. You know, I want this and I want that. Danny and I were talking about that this morning. I think I bored him a little bit by going on too much. But, you know, I just think we have to hear from him today. We have to hear from him today. We need him now more than ever. I mean, these are dark days that we live in. And I'm not being negative or critical, y'all. I mean, just look around us. You know, our country, we can't get along politically. We're fighting one another. You know, people are angry. Wherever you go, they're just angry. No one smiles anymore. You know, the scriptures tell us the joy of the Lord is our strength. Not the joy of my checkbook, not the joy of my job, not the joy of what I have and possess, but it's his joy. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Not whatever we'll have. Because he said, peace I give unto thee. The scriptures tell us and remind us, not as the world gives, but I give unto thee. You can't get peace. You know, you go to an addict and his, you know what he wants? He wants a fix all the time. You know, he just wants a fix. An alcoholic, they just want to drink all the time. You know, at least my dad did. He was always in the bar drinking, you know, and they can't get enough. But Jesus reminds us that peace I give unto thee, not as the world can give, but I give unto thee, you know. And he does provide. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. That he'll do. Verse 14, it says, for if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men in their sins, your heavenly Father will not forgive your sins. So it's crucial to stay in contact with Jesus, to pray without ceasing, to draw closer to him, because the scriptures remind us that, you know, we're to forgive 70 times 7, and I've brought that up before. That, I mean, come on now. 70 times 7, that's 490 times. So how many times are you going to learn, okay, I'm going to forgive you once, forgive you twice, second, third, fourth, fifth. So you're not, it's in an infinite amount of times. Just forgive that person and let's move on. Because I think we stifle our relationship with Jesus if we don't learn to forgive. As Jesus tells us how to pray, you know? What about you and God? That song by Josh. Thanks, thanks, Danny. Every time I come in here, he's got a good song for me. And I love country music, y'all. I really do. And thank you, Danny. That was a good song, Me and God. Well, that could be my message today. You and God. Me and God. You know? What about us? You know? What about learning to say, you know, I want to draw nearer to him. I want to get to know him. How are you going to know him if you don't spend time with him? You know, if we're so caught up in the world and wanting this and wanting that And we're on the websites, and you know we're spending more time on the internet, and we're not spending enough time with the Father. How are you going to know the steps that you're to walk in? How are you going to know what to do with your life? How are you going to know, just Lord, you know, direct my steps? Because the Word tells us and reminds us all that the steps of righteous aren't ordered by you; they're ordered by Jesus. And we need to. The Bible says the fervent, effectual prayer of the righteous availeth much, not little, much. And we need to be praying more. And we need to be excited for Jesus. We really do. I just see a nation that's throwing God out of everything. You know, we're anti-God, we're anti-Israel, we're anti-this and anti-that. Get around people, and they want a revolution. A revolution today. I shared that story about meeting a girl, and she said, "That's right, we need a revolution." I said, "That's right, we need one for Jesus." And she really told me off. But we do, you know. We need, the nation needs, all of us needs, as Franklin Graham reiterates and keeps saying, that we need Jesus now more than ever, and we do. You know, I'm not here to be I'm not religious. I'm a sinner, saved by His grace, His mercy, His compassion, His love, His gentleness, His kindness. He went to that cross that you and I might have life, and life more abundantly. The Scriptures tell us, I came to give you life, and life more abundantly. What about you and God? Are you where He wants you to be today? Are you forgiving those that have hurt you? Are you forgiving? You know, that's really critical to your walk with Christ. You know, well, you can tell me that I have a right what that person did to me. You know, I could say that about my father. When my mom passed away, she passed away in Louisville, Kentucky. On Memorial Day, it was about 1 o'clock in the morning, and the priest told me, let go of her. I said, no, she's asleep, and she'll come back. She's the only one that's helping us. And he said, let go. She's gone. I remember calling my father, I think it was like 1:15, 1:30 in the morning. I knew where he was. He was at a bar on the Ohio River, Ernie's Tavern. And I called him. I said, Dad, I said, Mom passed away. And he hung up on me. And he took off. So you know what? I had to learn to forgive him. You know, and he left my sister and I. And many years we struggled and struggled and struggled. And I said, you know, we stayed together, and I learned how to do a little odd jobs, and I made my sister make pot holders. But, you know, to go door to door to sell them. And our Lord is faithful. You know, give us this day our daily bread. And he provided for my sister and I. And it was quite remarkable. I mean, even in the midst of a famine, I believe it was there was a gentleman in the Yota. I'm trying to think of his name. Isaac. Yes, Isaac. And he was in a famine. And he had an idea. He said, I'm going to go to Egypt for my provision. And the Lord reminded him, no. You're going to stay in the land, because Egypt was going to be his provision. And the Lord said, no, you'll stay in the land, and I'll show up, and I'll provide. Are you at a place in your life where maybe you need a miracle? Maybe you need something. But maybe you haven't forgiven someone, you know? And it's important as Christians to forgive, you know, because Jesus said it here in verse 14. If you forgive men when they sinned against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men of their sins, your heavenly Father will not forgive your sins. And you know, how can you, when Jesus went to the cross and shed His precious blood that you might have life and life more abundantly, you know, you, that He shed His precious blood that you would have abundant life by knowing Him, then we can walk and say, you know, someone's hurt me and someone's offended me. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, that's right. We've all been hurt. We've all been discouraged. We've all been disappointed. Someone's given us a harsh word. We all get those, you know. You know, you can't make it. You can't do it. God can't use you. And or someone stole something from you. Someone really offended you. You know, you got to learn to forgive. Because here's how I look at it. You know, when my father passed away, and I gave his funeral service up in Louisville, Kentucky, I looked at my father in the coffin, and you know, could he get mad at me? No, he's gone. He couldn't get offended at me. He didn't like me because I was a Christian, but I still loved him. I forgave him, and I even went up and I have a comfort cross, and I gave half to him. The cross comes apart, and the stone's from Israel, and I gave him half the cross and put it in his hands, and I gave my stepmom the other half, and I looked at him, and he was gone. But maybe my father didn't forgive me. You know, what I'm trying to say is, if we are truly dead in Christ, You know, we've given our whole heart and life and soul to Jesus. How can a dead man get offended? If you're dead to yourself and alive in Christ, then how can a dead man, your Tom, your my flesh, if I'm dead to Tom and alive in Christ, how can Tom get offended? You can't be, because you're dead to Tom and you're alive in Christ. So we don't have a right to get offended. We don't. For what Jesus did on that cross, that he shed his precious blood, that you and I might have that life and life more abundantly. And we need to be living this victorious life. We really do. We need to come alive again. We need to wake up. Wake up to hear the essence of the voice of the Father telling you what to do. He speaks to us. He really does through his word, through the Holy Spirit. We just need to spend more time with him. You know, there's things you, some of you listeners listening, you know, don't turn me off. You know, but you need to take to the cross and let go. Because a couple years ago, or a couple, I think, I don't know if it was a couple months ago, I must have shared on the radio, I think I did, that you need to let go and have a funeral service and bury those things. Because if you don't let go of the past and learn to forgive, then, as the Holy Spirit told me one time, then the past will bury you. Because you're so upset, you're so offended, you're so mad, that eventually it's going to either cause a stroke, a heart attack, it's going to interrupt your health and your eating. And you're just going to be so mad. You're mad at everyone. You know, maybe you're offended. Maybe you're bitter, you know, just take it to the cross. Whatever, someone's hurt you, your husband left you, you lost the money, a friend disappointed you, someone gave you a bad word, then bury it, leave it at Jesus' feet and go on and move on and live this life that he's called us to live, a victorious life, a joyful life, you know. Because his word says, and I believe it's 1 John, it says 1 John 5, 11 through 12, it says, I am the way, the truth, the life. No one goeth to the Father but through Christ. It's only through Christ. I am, he said, the way, the truth, and life. No man goeth to the Father but through Jesus. So it's so very important that we call on him. It's so very important that we spend time in the Word of God. We spend time in the Word. Study to show yourself approved, the Bible says. The scriptures tell us, a workman that need not be ashamed. And I'm still learning. I don't know everything. You see my Bible. It's all marked up. And the other day, a couple weeks ago, I slipped at church. Someone spilled water on the floor, and I slipped. And my Bible went up in the air. And I believe I had like 60, 80 pages flew out of my Bible, you know. And I thought, Lord, I got to put this Bible back together. Now, my wife bought me a new one, but I like my old one. And I'm trying to use both of them and do away, you know, kind of put this one aside. But, you know, it's all marked up. I know where everything is. And it's like getting a new pair of shoes. You know, you like the old pair, but they're worn out. Well, this Bible's worn out. And I don't know everything, folks. You know, I'm just here doing the best I can to share with you each week that I come here, to draw closer to him, to hear his heart, spend time in prayer. Because how are we going to know what to do if we don't spend time in prayer? I like what Pastor Malcolm said last week at church. Let your requests be known to God. And never demand anything of Jesus. Never demand it. You know, we don't have that right to say, well, I demand. No, we don't. You just take, you lay it at his feet. You know, you lay it at his feet. And whatever you're going through, just trust in him with all your heart. And as the scriptures tell us, lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him. And guess what he said? I shall direct your path. And spending time with him is so critically important, because I find myself getting off track many times, and I'm an expert at it. I'm an expert at just, you know, getting sidetracked. I do. I get sidetracked all the time, you know, and then my flesh kicks in. The stinking thinking Tom kicks in, and then I start thinking about this and thinking about this. And I said, Lord, help me. I need your help today. You know, he doesn't give, the scriptures tell us, he doesn't give us anything that we can't handle. You know, he knows what you're going through. It's just I take time to now bow my head and say, Lord, this day is frustrating. You know, this one's calling, this one's calling, this one's complaining, and, you know, and this isn't going right. And my eyes just, you know, I believe it was Peter that walked on the water. He was doing fine when Jesus called him, come forth. He was doing fine on the water until he took his eyes off Jesus. Then he started sinking. I tell you, I'm good at taking my eyes off and looking at the circumstances. You know, those that when Peter came out of that boat, the waves were tossing and turning, and he was fine and keeping his eyes on Jesus. But when he took his eyes off Jesus, he started sinking. You know, and I'm here to tell you today, stay focused. The fervent, effectual prayer, the scriptures tell us, of the righteous availeth much. Stay in prayer. You know, you whatever God's calling you to do, if he's calling you to do ministry work, if he's calling you to be an attorney, if he's calling you to be around family, whatever, you need to bathe your steps, your each day in prayer. Read the Word. You know, read the Word. It's so very important, because how are you going to know Him if we don't read the Word? Spend time with Him. Start in the Gospels, like Matthew, Mark, Luke, John in the New Testament. Go to church. You know, I'm floored at the amount of people that tell me, I don't need church. You don't? Oh, okay. The Bible says, don't forsake the assembling of yourself. How are you going to know the Word if you don't go to church? I go to church, and Pastor Malcolm ministers to me and all of us the Word of God, because we learn. You know, we can't do this journey alone. We can't do it alone. You can't do it. It's impossible. If you think you don't need church, I've got a couple neighbors that I don't need church, but we do need church. We do need it, because we're to encourage one another. You go to church to hear the Word, to worship God as well. It's what my wife reminds me. You know, stay focused. Don't stay focused on the church and what they're not doing and should be doing and don't do. Stay focused. You go to church to hear the Word of God, to be ministered to the Word of God. You know, that's crucial for today, folks. That is very crucial, to go to the church to hear the Word of God, that you can become more and more like Him each and every day, that you crucify this flesh, that you can decrease, as the Scriptures tell us that He can increase. I don't know about you, but sometimes my flesh rises up, and it stinks. I'm telling you, it stinks. You know, I came home the other day, and I never smelled so bad in my life, not spiritually, but physically. And I told my business partner and my wife, I don't know why I'm smelling so bad lately. Thank goodness I don't smell spiritually. You know, Lord, help me with that one, too. To stay focused, to keep our eyes on Him. Keep our eyes on Him and read. Study to show yourself approved, a workman, and a need not be ashamed. You also go to church to worship God, too. You know, your praise and worship time is the time to praise Jesus, you know, and that's it. You know, don't go to church that, you know, just if someone's hurt you at church, that's another thing. And we've all been hurt at church. We all have. But I like what Pastor Malcolm said. If someone hurts you in the church, there'll be many, many others here to love on you. And I love that one. And that's so true. And that's why we go to church, to learn about Jesus, to become more like Him, to walk in His mercy, His love, His grace, His kindness, His gentleness, have His compassion for mankind, not be impatient, you know, the fruits of the Spirit. Let's understand that we have to love people where they are on the way of where they're going. You know, don't try to clean people up. You know, you go up to people and say, you're a sinner. You don't need to do that. Just go up to people and love them with Jesus' love. They're going to say, what makes you tick? What's so special about you? Well, it's Jesus. And then you'll have an opportunity to share Christ with them. I used to minister to people all the time. I still do. But I used to try to clean people up. And the Holy Spirit had to remind me, that's not your job. Your job is to love them where they are on the way of where they're going. So you can't clean anyone up. You know, religious people do that. You know, you should be doing this. You need to be doing that. I remember reading in the Word that the Pharisees caught the disciples eating with dirty hands, and they caught them because, you know, the Jewish tradition is you got to wash your hands before you eat, and they were eating with dirty hands. And the Pharisees, which were religious people, came in and said, we caught them, Jesus. They're eating with dirty hands. And I love what Jesus' response was. He said, it's not what goes into the mouth that defiles the body. It's what comes out. Are you watching what comes out of your mouth? Jesus didn't care if they were eating with dirty hands. It says it's not what goes in the body. It's what comes out of the mouth. We got to be careful what we say to people. You know, do you gossip? Do you have a critical spirit? And if you do, you know, why don't you call in? I'm going to let a couple people call in, one person, two people, as the Lord leads, call in. And if you want to share a testimony, what about you and God? What's God put on your heart? You know, I want to hear from you. What's He putting on your heart to do? You know, then just do it. You know, don't be just a hearer of the Word. What's the Scriptures tell us? Be a doer. Go be a doer of the Word. Do what He says to do and go do it. You know, don't advertise it. You know, I used to be on TV and everybody advertised their gifts and their callings and their titles. And we don't need any of that stuff, y'all. We don't need all that stuff. We don't need a title. You know, you just don't need it. You know, when in the mission field, my biggest problem was I was wondering what my title was going to be working with Dr. Patrick. I wanted a title. Well, you don't need them. You know, you just don't need a title. You don't have to jump up and down and say, I'm this and I'm that and I'm headed deacon and I'm head elder. You know, I'm head pastor. You know, you just keep running the race with confidence. The race is set before you. You don't have to advertise. People will see it. You know, your gifts in you that God's given you will make a way. You won't make a way. The scriptures tell us the gifts in you will make a way. So you don't have to advertise it. My citrus trees in the backyard don't have to jump up and down and say, look at my fruit. I just go and when the fruit's ready, I go and pick and enjoy it. You know, that's how we should be. You know, we shouldn't be having neon lights. Look at me and look what I have. I'm head pastor. I'm head deacon. I'm head elder. You know, I'm the praise and worship lead. You don't need to get into all that stuff. Just be humble and walk humbly before your God. So call in. The number here is 632-1000. If you have a prayer request or if you just want to share your heart, what's God doing for you? What's he putting on your heart to do? Maybe others have told you you can't do it, but you can do it. You know, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. You can do it. You know, I've had so many naysayers in my life when my mom passed away. You can't make it. You'll never amount to anything. You'll never go anywhere. And I thought, you just have to shake that stuff off and move on. You know, bury that past because your past will never direct the destiny that Jesus has for you. Jesus will. Your past won't. Jesus will direct your destiny. I'm here to tell you that. So if you want to do something, you know, you pray about it. And remember, the battle's not yours. It belongs to Jesus. Some of you are holding on and fighting a battle you shouldn't be fighting. You need to let that battle go and let Jesus fight your fights. And he will. You just have to learn to relax, chill, and enjoy the journey on the way of where he's taking you. Don't complain so much. You know, I'm learning that myself. So the number here, if you want to call in, is 632-1000. If you want to share your heart, and I want to know what God's doing. I want to know what he's doing with you. I want to know what he's speaking to you about. And just call in. If you have an encouraging word to share, share it. You know, don't call in and complain now. You know, you know, call in and share your heart. Share it. And if you're discouraged, I'll pray for you. You know, whatever it is that you need. My prayer is that people would start calling in because I love to encourage people. Hebrews 3:13 says, we are to encourage one another daily. What a day is still called today. You know, Danny, that's so important. It didn't say we're to pick on one another daily. Nope. It said to encourage one another daily. And that needs that. We need to work on that. And I need to work on that. You know, when I went to Haiti, you talk about poverty, but spiritually they were very wealthy when I was there. They were very wealthy. They knew who their God was, and they knew God would provide for them. They didn't have running water. They didn't have hardly any electricity. It would come on for an hour and then go back off. You know, they didn't have anything. They don't have a Publix there. I was hoping they'd have a Burger King there, you know, or McDonald's. I was so hungry in Haiti, I brought me some peanut butters and crackers down because I didn't know how the food was going to be down there, and it was awful. I couldn't get used to it. That's the only problem I had as a missionary, just getting used to some of the food. I think I'm a picky eater, and Lord help me with that one. But when I went to Haiti, I took a bunch of peanut butter and crackers with me. And but, you know, I started seeing golden arches, you know, McDonald's. And I didn't see them anywhere. I said, Lord, they don't even have McDonald's here. They don't even have Burger King here, you know. But they were so happy. Those people down there, you have about, I believe it's 62,000. I can't remember the number now, but missing legs and arms. Because when the earthquake hit them, there was a lot of people, women and men, children, the concrete fell on them because they didn't have building codes and they loved to stack. They'd love to do one floor, two floors, three floors, four floors. It's true. They didn't have building codes like we have them. And when that earthquake shook Haiti, all that concrete came tumbling down. So you've got about 50, 62,000 people missing legs and arms. And I met a lot of them. I did. And let me tell you, they were happy. They weren't complaining. They weren't sad. They were all laughing, joking, talking about the Lord. It was just quite amazing. Amazing people there. And wish I'd get a Burger King next time I go down, though, you know. Anyway, call in. The number here is 632-1000. And if you're not walking where you should be, call in, and I'll pray for you. You know, I know it's kind of tough calling in. Y'all kind of shy out there. And I'm praying, Lord, have some more people call into the program because I'd like to hear from people. And the program's not about Tom. I'm not here to talk about Tom and rattle on. You know, I just try to share my heart and stir you up to become more like him, more like Jesus, because it's so important that we hear his heart and do what he tells us to do. You know, be that blessing. Don't expect a blessing. That's what my mom told me at her deathbed. She said, son, now don't expect blessings in this life. Go be a blessing. And that's what I'm encouraging each and every one of you to do, is not expect blessings. You know, God, give me, give me, give me. We become like spoiled children. Demand it. We claim, name and claim it. You can't do that. You know, the scriptures tell us, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things, what shall be added to you? You don't have to go find the stuff. The stuff will come finding you. You know, just do what Jesus told you to do, and that stuff will come to you. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall follow you. When I went to the mission field, I gave my army career up to work with Dr. Patrick, and I never lacked. I would have people calling me and say, the Lord woke me up and you have a need. And I said, well, if Jesus woke you up and told you you had a need, he'll also tell you what that need is. And sure enough, they sent me some money, and it was almost the exact amount I needed at the time. The Lord always provided for me in the mission field. I was never without anything over there in Hawaii working with Dr. Patrick. You know, all he looks for is not ability, but what he wants in your life is availability and a willing heart. You know, and he'll give you the ability to do what he tells you to do. Whatever that may be, being a mechanic, being a governor, running for senator, whatever that may be. You know, if you're called to go in ministry, make sure you give him all the glory and the praise and the honor. Don't you take it. Look what I'm doing. You know, I had enough of that stuff on Christian TV. And I'm, you know, nothing about Christian TV, but I tell you what, the flesh really, it was different. And I got tired of it. You know, I'm just Tom. I'm not going to try to impress anyone. You know, they told me I need to get rid of the wrinkles. Now the chin's sagging. You need to get rid of all that stuff. I said, well, yeah, okay. Well, you know, I'm just Tom. You know, I'm not out to impress anyone but Jesus. And that's the way you should be. You know, let's stay focused. Nothing wrong with cosmetic surgery. You know, if I get into that, you'll get a few of these wrinkles done and the chin tucked up. But I'm not. That's not my priority. It's just not. You know, I think we have to love people where they are. I think we're into so much of our looks today and what we have and to impress people. The only person I want to impress is that's Jesus. That is Jesus, by knowing him intimately as your Lord and Savior. So remember, let your request be known to God, as the scriptures tell us. Pastor Malcolm ministered to us about that. And please never demand anything from God. Don't demand it. You know, don't demand anything from God. Just fall deeper in love with him. And whatever you need, he'll make sure he'll provide for you. Your needs, not your wants, your needs. So call in. Come on. It's quiet today. The number here, my time's just about up. The number here is 632-1000. I want you to share your heart. Y'all quiet. And I've been really asking the Lord, is anyone out there listening? You know, don't let him be shy to call in. This is not a time these days that we live in to be shy. You know, come on, step out and call in. If you're a pastor, call in, you know. If you're just a homemaker, call in. If you're a mechanic, you know, listening, you know, and I thank God for mechanics. I really do, because where would we be if we didn't have mechanics, Danny, working on your boat motor? I mean, we need mechanics. We really do. I had to take my truck in. I haven't used it for 3 months, you know, my work truck. It's been sitting at the office because I didn't want to put the miles. I'm trying to sell it. And guess what? The battery wouldn't start. So I had AAA come start my battery, and they said, this is not going to make it. You got a dead cell. So I took it to the Toyota dealer, and lo and behold, I needed a new battery. And they said, oh, you need an oil change. And I said, okay. And so they got me taken care of. But, you know, even mechanics are special. You know, even the garbage collectors, they're very special because they pick up your garbage. And thank them once in a while if you get the chance to see them. Say hi to him and thank him for what they do. You know, because Jesus is no respecter of people. You know, he doesn't have favorites. You know, some say Jesus does. I don't know. I don't know about that. We're all supposed to be servants. Because the only thing I want to hear is when I pass away, is I want to hear his voice say, enter thou good and well and faithful servant to the joy of the Lord. That's what I want to hear. You know, we're supposed to be servants and serving one another. Not trying to advertise our title or gifts or anything. Nope. We just want to fall deeper in love with him. So just one more person, or listen, come on, someone call in. The number here is 632-1000. I want to hear from you. I want to hear what Jesus has put on your heart. What's he talking to you about? What's he ministering to you about? Even in the word, was something that you read today that spoke to you? Are you struggling? You need to bury your past? You know, I sure did. I had to bury it. You know, I had an awful upbringing. You know, my dad would beat my mom up all the time. He threw her through a window, and she had to have 132 stitches in her stomach, down her leg. He was very abusive. I had to learn to forgive my dad, and I did. Maybe there's something you need to forgive, someone you need to forgive. You know, family member. Maybe there's a coworker that you need to forgive. Forgive him. Forgive him and move on. How are you going to live this victorious life for Jesus? We're walking around, you know, mad at everyone, offended, you know, upset. You know, how are we going to live this victorious life that he called us to live if we're always upset, always offended, always mad, you know? Come on now, folks. The joy of the Lord is our strength. The joy. Do you have that joy today? Do you have his joy? Do you even know him? You know, and if you do know him and you've walked away from him, come back to him. Rededicate your life back to Christ. That's the most important. And if you don't know Jesus, today is the day of salvation. Well, Danny, I guess no one's calling in. The number here is, I'll give you one more chance, 632-1000. Just share your heart, what the Lord's put on your heart. I've got a story I was sharing with Danny this morning. And this was quite amazing. My niece was getting married in Louisville, Kentucky. So she invited me to come up, and I went up, and she had that night she had a dinner. I don't know, rehearsal dinner. I don't know what they call them, Danny. I can't remember. But at the dinner that she had the night before she got married, she sat me across from a pastor from Louisville. I can't remember his name, but that was my niece's pastor. And listening to him, quite amazing story he shared with me. He went to Africa and with a very prominent minister here in America. So they both teamed up and they went to Africa. And this gentleman from Africa came up to this one pastor and said, you got to come to village, people dying. And so I can't remember the pastor's name. I'm going to have to ask my niece. But he went to the village while they were there ministering. They were ministering in the morning and in the evening. And so he went to this village, and he saw bodies laying around. And the pastor of that village said, I need help, much help, much help. And he looked around and saw bodies laying all over, and he said, I need help, medicine, help, medicine. So this pastor from America went to his other friend that was a very well-known pastor here in America, said, you've got to come to this village, they need help. And the other pastor said, I can't be bothered. Leave me alone. We've got revivals to do here. And so the pastor that I met went back to the village and said, there's great need here. I'll go back to America and raise support and come back with medicine. And the pastor from Africa said, well, you Americans tell me, come back and I never see you again. I never see you again. This is a true story. And so, he went back to America with the other pastor after the revivals were over with. And remember, this other pastor had the means to help. He's a very well-known pastor in America. And his net worth is about, I couldn't tell you what his net worth is. It's in tens of millions. This one pastor had the ability to make an impact in that village. But he refused to go with the other pastor. So anyway, they came back to America. And the pastor that I met had a revival, tent revival in Louisville, Kentucky, not too far from the Muhammad Ali Airport, which is in Louisville. And the pastor had a little revival, tent revival that night. And a gentleman, a business fellow, came up, answered the altar call. He gave his life to Christ. And so he told the pastor, he said, may I take you to lunch sometime? And he said, you can. He said, you can. So that week, they went to lunch. This is a true story. He took him to lunch, and he bought the pastor the lunch, and he gave him a check. Well, the pastor put the check in his pocket and thanked him, and the pastor went home. His wife said, would you have a nice lunch? Did he show up? And he said, yes, he showed up, and I had a delightful time with him. He's a businessman in Louisville, Kentucky. And she said, that was nice. And he said, oh, he gave me a check. It's in my suit pocket. And she said, well, how much was it? And he said, I don't know, probably $100. He didn't look at it. He just put it in his suit pocket and thanked the gentleman. So she went in, got the suit. He hung it up, and she went to his suit pocket and got the check. And she looked at him and came back and said, you sure you thanked him? And she said, I did. I thanked him. She said, are you sure? Did you look at the check? And he said, no. And the check was in the amount, I believe, close to $400. I think it was $400,000, close to it. A very, very large check, $400,000. And she said, you did thank him. He said, I did. So, you know, when I look at this scripture in Matthew, you know, chapter 6, verse 11, give us today our daily bread. how God provided for that pastor to get some other doctors to go back to Africa and buy the medicine to take to help those people in the village. Let me tell you something. We're living in a time where, you know, that Jesus is calling us to do things. You know, we get in a, I don't know what the word is, a rut, I think. We all can get in a rut. I get in a rut. And then, you know, we begin to not listen to the Father. We don't spend enough time with him. But if you do what he tells you to do, you know, had Jonah not gone to Nineveh, you know, who would have gone? And yet Jonah was running away the other way, not to do what God called him to do, that he was jeopardizing all those people in Nineveh. And those people were in the palm of his hands. How many people are you jeopardizing? If that pastor told the pastor in Africa that I will be back, and the pastor in Africa said, will you people tell me that? All you American pastors tell me that all the time, but you don't do anything. You don't come back. Well, he did. He made himself available to go back. Are you making yourself available, whatever Jesus tells you to do, to be that blessing to someone? Are you hearing his heart? Because if you don't do it, how many lives are you jeopardizing? How many lives are you jeopardizing? You know, if you don't do it, how many people will God have to touch? You know, and think about that one now. You know, you can go to church and you need to talk to the person to the left of you, and you need to say hi and welcome to the person to the right of you. You need to speak to the person in front of you because they may be coming to that church for the first time. And we need to be touching lives today. That's what I'm just trying to say. We need to be open for anything Jesus would have us to do. And yes, Jesus will provide. Jesus will provide for you. You know, is there anything too difficult for the Lord? The scriptures tell us. No, there's not. There's not anything too difficult. We just have to call on him. We have to call on him. As the pastor that I met in Louisville, Kentucky, made himself available to go back to Africa, and the Lord provided mightily for him to go take other doctors and buy the medicine that those village people needed. Who would have done that? You know, you never know. Every day is a new day. Every day you wake up, you know, the Lord will have you minister to a widow. The Lord would have you share with your neighbor. Well, I don't like my neighbor. Well, why don't you? You know, straighten that stinking thinking up in your attitude up. You know, go love on them with Jesus's love. Well, they hurt me. Well, get over that and move on. You know, come on, we got to get over this now. We've got to get over it, saints of God. We've got to get over being hurt, being offended, being upset. And matter of fact, you know, we've become bitter. You know, well, I have a right to be. No, you don't. What Jesus did on that cross, shed his precious blood, that you and I might have life and have it more abundantly. You have no rights, but you have to learn to forgive. It's so very important that we learn to forgive. And I'm being honest and upfront with you. You need to forgive. My message today about prayer. Lord, give us our daily bread. Hear his heart. And whatever he tells you to do, just do it. Just do it. Danny played that song today. You know, I sure enjoyed it. It was a country song by Josh Turner, Me and God. What about you and God? If he tells you to do something, are you going to do it? Just do it. What he's put on your heart. Be that blessing. When you go to church, hug someone. Pat them on the back. Tell them welcome to the church. You know, let's be that light that he's called us to be. Let's be that blessing that he's called us to be. Let your light so shine that men may see your good works and glorify Jesus. You know, let us stand up, rise up, speak up, stand up. You know, one time in Hawaii, the Holy Spirit touched my heart. I was sitting on a cross they built when the Japanese came years ago on their way to Pearl Harbor. The government built a big cross, and I used to open the back door and climb up that cross, and it overlooked the Hawaiian Islands, part of the Hawaiian Island. And I'd sit up there with a few brothers. We'd sit on this huge cross. We climbed up, went through opened the door, climbed up the ladder, opened the hatch at the top. We sat up there, and that's where I proposed to my wife, by the way, and she turned me down. But once, twice, three times, I don't know how many times, but that's a place I used to go for prayer. And the brothers and I would sit on top of that cross and look out part of the island, and the Holy Spirit told me, I'm going to give you a new name. And I thought, oh my, I'm in trouble. I told the brothers, Lord's ministering to me. He's going to give me a new name. And I said, Lord, if it's like Meshach, Meshach, Abednego, I'm in trouble. I don't know how to pronounce it nor spell it. And the Holy Spirit said, no, ye. Go ye into all the world. I'm telling you, ye. Now you go ye into all the world. Do what he tells you to do. Be that blessing. You don't have to go to the mission field.
be that blessing. I think the greatest mission field that I'm seeing today that I'm living in is America. This is the biggest. You don't have to go to Haiti. You don't have to go to work with a doctor and build orphan homes years ago. You can. America is the greatest mission field that I've ever seen in my life. I'm not kidding you. You know, we are so full of ourselves here in America, and I'm not being critical, judgmental. I don't want to come off that way. You know, we have plastic surgery after plastic surgery after nothing wrong with plastic surgery. Lord knows I need a little of it. You know, I'm not against it, but you know, don't make your body an idol. Don't make your body an idol. Don't grab everything you can in this life. There's other people that need help. Be that blessing that Jesus has called you to be. You know, let's wake up as a nation. Let's wake up. The churches, wake up. Hear his heart. You know, it's not about your building. It's about people. Building people, not building buildings. You know, it's building people and encouraging people where they are on the word where Jesus has taken them. Let's build people up, not ourselves up, not our image up, not our ministry up. But let's be building people in these days that we live in. Let's love on the ones that are unlovable. That's hard, but Jesus will tell you how to do it. He'll tell you how to do it. Just build people up. Encourage them. Hebrews 3:13 again. Some of you pastors need to encourage some of your folks. You know, Hebrews 3:13 says, encourage one another daily while the day is still calling today. That's one of my most favorite, the one scripture I really like beside John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but all have everlasting life. That's my favorite scripture. And my second one is Hebrews 3:13. Are you encouraging one another daily? Are we putting one another down, backbiting, being critical, having a critical spirit? You need to nail that to the cross and leave it and repent, you know, because we're to encourage one another daily. Listen to one another, minister to one another, love on one another, support one another. That's what Jesus would be doing. If Jesus were here today, I'm telling you, I'm being honest, I don't think Jesus would be having a $50 million church. I don't think he'd be flying around in a $70 million jet. No, he wouldn't be. You know, one pastor I heard evangelist say, well, why would he put me on a commercial airline with stinky people? My advice to that pastor is, I'm stinky. That's where Jesus would be. He'd be on that plane with stinky people. You know, have we gotten that haughty and that arrogant as a nation that we think because we have our ministry or we have $1 million that we're better than someone else? We're not. No. Walk humbly before our God. Walk humbly before him. Fall deeper in love with him, folks. Don't fall deeper in love with the things on this earth. You know, be a part of many ministries that God's raising up in this land in these last days that we're living in. To be that, he wants us to be that light and that blessing to one another, that his will be done, not ours. Well, my program's just about up, Danny. Boy, the hour just goes really quickly. I hope I made some sense to you all today, sharing my heart with you. You know, I love all of you, and I really do, and I've not met most of you. But fall deeper in love with him. I'm here to encourage you to be all that you can be in these last days for Jesus. Fall deeper, deeper in love with him. I pray you'd never be the same. God richly bless you all in Jesus' name. May you never be the same from this day going forward. Till next week, God bless you.
You've been listening to Wake Up, the radio broadcast brought to you by Tom Jones Ministries. Be with us again next Thursday at the same time for Wake Up with Tom Jones.